This morning, we thank you for the privilege you have granted unto us, even to gather at your feet again. Lord, even as we look at your word, even concerning Christian marriage and godly family, we pray that, Lord, you come and speak to each and every one of us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
To those who are married, speak to them.
Amen.
To those who are not yet married, singles, prepare them also for this glorious union.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, we are praying.
Amen.
Please, you can take your seats. We are looking at the message, Christian marriage and godly family. And I want us to turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13, verses 4. And I read from here. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. I want us also to turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 2. We read from verses 18 to 25. And I read from here. And the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. From the scriptures that we have read this morning, we could see that God was the originator of marriage. He was the one who instituted it. He was the one who designed marriage, and he designed marriage even for a purpose, because it was central to his plan for the whole earth. And the plan for God was that every human being or every child that is born into this world should come into this world through this marriage institution. That was the plan of God from creation. And we all know that God created marriage for a reason, because he saw that it was not good for the man to be alone. And therefore, he created a help meet for that man, which was the woman. So we see that God ordained marriage for our comfort, for happiness, for the well-being of mankind. And he also expects man to find fulfillment, fellowship, companionship, partnership, completeness, and pleasure in marriage, as well as also for procreation. So these were the reasons why God even created this institution, this great institution of marriage. But then if you look at the world today, the marriage institution has been corrupted by society. If you look at the world today, so many people, different cultures, they have different perspectives about marriage. They have turned it upside down. They are doing whatever they think they like, or whatever they feel it is okay for them. But some people, they see, they want to enjoy the pleasures in marriage, but then they don't want to be committed even to what marriage was created for. For some other people also, they just want to enjoy the fruits of marriage, but then they are not prepared even to be committed to the purpose why marriage was designed. And that is why we have so many divorces even in this world today. If you look at some cultures, yes, people you just choose marry anyhow. For some people, they feel like marriage is like choosing the food. For some people, before they eat or they choose a kind of food they want to eat, they want to sample here, they want to sample there, and then the one that is sweet or they feel it is good for them, then they settle down and then enjoy that food. And that is how some people receive marriage. They want to sample here, they sample there, but no, that was not how even God even created marriage. Some people also, they think that marriage is like changing of your clothes. When it is dirty or when it is old, you just throw it away and then you get a new one. And that is why they keep marrying, divorcing, keep changing partners every now and then. Some people also, they feel that, well, this is how my father did his marriage. This is how in our culture, this is how in our society, this is how marriage is conducted. So, this is how you do it, and they are following tradition. They are following culture, but you have to know that marriage goes beyond culture. It goes beyond tradition because it is an institution that God himself designed. And that is why it is very important that if you want to go into that blessed institution, we need to go to the one who designed it so that we can have that manual, we can have even that information so that we can be able to enjoy our marriage. Because God expects us to enjoy our marriage. He doesn't want us even to endure it. He wants us even to enjoy it. It's for our pleasure. And if you have, for instance, you have a washing machine, it comes with an instruction, a manual. And when you look at the manual, it gives you instruction how to assemble that machine or how to install it. And also in that manual, it comes with instructions on how to operate that machine. It's the same way also, God is the designer, is the originator of marriage. And he has given us instructions on how we need to enter into that marriage, how to assemble it or how to install the marriage. And also he has given us the instruction how to operate the marriage so that we can enjoy it to our full benefit. You can have even an equipment, you buy a washing machine even for instance, and then you don't know how to install it. Even though you have that washing machine, there's no way you can even use it because you don't know how to install it. Yes, somebody can also buy that washing machine, he's able to install it, but then he doesn't know how to operate the washing machine. In this way also, yes, you have the washing machine, you have installed it, but then you don't know how to operate it. It is not beneficial. It will not be beneficial to you. Another person also could have that washing machine. Yes, he could also install it, and then he knows how to operate it somehow. It works for him. He's operating it. Yes, it's okay, he's enjoying it, but then there are some other functions that machine could do. I remember just recently we have a printer, and the printer is able to print both front and back. You put it in, it's able to print front and back. And then I've been using this printer even for some time, and normally I didn't know that it is possible to print this front and back. So what I do is that I print one page front, and then I put the paper back again, and then it prints at the back as well. And I was comfortable with it because it was working. It was a good printer. But then Pastor Gunnar just told me that this printer, it can print both front and back at the same time. You don't need to put it back again. You just press this knob, it will print the front, also print the back as well. And that is the same way also, because I didn't know, I was using the printer, but then I didn't know how to use it to the best of my benefit. Even though I was enjoying it, but then there was a potential for better enjoyment. And that is why if we want to really enjoy our marriage, we need to go back to the Word of God, because Christ or God is the originator of marriage. He knows even which button you have to press so that you can enjoy the marriage to the fullest of your potential. And that is why you need to go back to the scriptures. If you are preparing even to get married, it is very important that you go even to the scriptures. Because you know, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14 verses 12 that there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but it leads even to destruction. And that is the way we see the people of this world. They think that their method of marriage, the way they make their choices, the way they see marriage, they think that that is the way even to go. But then that way leads to destruction. And that is why we need to come back to the word of God. Because God is the originator of marriage. He is the one that designed it. And if you want to really maximize the potential or the benefits of our marriages, then we need to go back to the scriptures. I pray that God will open our eyes in Jesus' name. We will look at this message under three subheadings. First, we look at the fundamental principles of Christian marriage. What is the fundamental principles? What is the principle behind? And then we also look at the foundational pillar of Christian marriage. And then finally, our third point will be the fellowship practiced in a godly home. So we go to our first subheading, the fundamental principles of marriage. And I want us to go back again to the beginning, to the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verses 18 to 25. I'll read it once again. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him." If you look at this scripture, for instance, we know that when God created man, man was perfect. But after God had created man, God saw that the creation was good, it was perfect. Man was also holy. Man had dominion over all creation. Man even had fellowship with God. But then God said, it was not good for the man to be alone. And that was why he created even the woman as a help mate, as a help need, even for the man. And that is why the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18, verses 22, that he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Because God saw that, yes, man was perfect in that state, but then man was not complete. And that is why God even created woman, even for man. And we could see that at the time of creation, the animals were there. Everything was in the Garden of Eden. If man even wanted companion, he could have even gone to the animals, played with them, but then God wanted a help meet, even for the man. And that was why he created the woman for the man. And we all know even how God even created the woman. In verse 22, he says, "And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man," I read from verse 21, he says, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man." So we see where God even chose the woman from the rib. And we all know where the rib is. It's by the side of the body. And that is where the position of the woman to be. She was to be even an accompaniment to the man. She's supposed to be at the side of the man. The woman is not supposed to be under the man's feet, where the man is trodden under. God created the woman to be at the side of the man. And we all also could see that when God created man, man was perfect. These days, people are talking about this gay marriage. If it was to be so, God would have created another man for the man. Because when God created man, he saw that this creation was perfect. But then he did not make a man for that man. He created a woman for the man. And that is why we need to go back even to the scriptures. If the man was supposed to be the complement of that man, God would have easily, because he had already made the man, he knew the formula, he made the man, he could easily just replicate that that formula and then make that man for Adam. But then he had even to make a woman, because the woman had a purpose, and the woman even had a special place to play, to a role to play in the man and the life of man. And that is why this gay marriage that we see all over in this world, in this Western Europe, and even in the society that we live in, it is something which is an abomination in the sight of God. But if the man was to compliment another man, God would have done so. And we see that God even made a woman even for the man. We also could see that at that time, when God even made the man even had dominion over everything. He had a job, he was tending even the Garden of Eden. He was busy, he was occupied. But then God even created this woman, a man even for companionship. You know, sometimes some of the men, we are so busy, we say our job, you know, and we don't have even time for our spouses. Yes, Adam had a job, he had a busy schedule, but then God even made that woman for him to be complete. That is why it's very important for those of us who are married. We should not even let our jobs occupy all our time. And these days, it is not only jobs, it could be our computers, it could be even our mobile phones. Adam had everything in the garden, but those things did not occupy his time. He had time even for Eve, the wife. I pray that God will help us and give us understanding in Jesus' name. We also could see when God even created the man had everything. He was even in dominion in the garden. But then when God even made the woman for the man gladly accepted the woman. And you know, all that even Adam had, he was ready to share that dominion with Eve. But sometimes there are some people, some married men or some married couple, what the man has is hiding even from the wife. He says that, well, I have my money, you also should have yours. We should be ready even to release our wallets, our Visa cards, our Master cards. We should be prepared even to share even with our wives. Because when God created Adam, when he saw Eve, he did not say that, well, this is my portion, this is my land, you don't need to come to this side. This is my special place. No. She was prepared even to share everything with the woman. And that is the same way also God is expecting even from us, that as much as possible, we should be prepared to share everything with our spouses. We also could see that when God even created the earth, and then he put the man, and then created the woman for man, because some people, they said that, well, you know, in our culture, you can take two wives, you can take three wives, you can marry four, there's nothing wrong with it. But then it is very important for us even to go back to the beginning. It says that, therefore, shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife. He didn't say unto his wives. And they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. So we see that when in the beginning God made one man and then one woman for that man. If you look at the circumstances at the time of creation, because God wanted man even to populate this earth, you would have thought that, well, God should have made, because a man cannot carry babies. It's the women that are designed to carry babies. God would have said that, well, let me make 10 women for this man, so that, you know, we have 10 children at the go, and then we keep multiplying. No, God did not do it so. He made one man and one woman. And he said that, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So the two shall be one flesh. And you know, in this time that we live in, it is very common to see divorce among even couples, some people even among Christian couples. They say that, well, there's nothing wrong with it. I've seen this bishop, he has divorced his wife, he has remarried. I've seen this brother, he has divorced his man and remarried. But then we need even to go back to the beginning. We need to go back even to the original plan of God, even concerning marriage. And I want us even to turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 19, verses 2 to 9. We saw the Pharisees, they came even to Jesus. They wanted to tempt him because Moses permitted them even to divorce their wives. So they wanted to find out also from Jesus what was his opinion concerning divorce. And I read from here, verse 1. It says, and it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? So we always have to go back even to the beginning to know the origin of marriage. Because some people, they feel, yes, we can divorce. Moses have given them even the permission to divorce. And I read verse 5, it says that, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. What God has put together, let no bishop put asunder. Let no father put asunder. For some people, their friends, will be pushing them. This man, this is how he is living. This woman, this is how she is living. The Bible says that what God has put together, what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? Saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. You have to go back to the beginning. The Bible says in verse 9, and I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committed adultery. And whoso marry her which is put away, that commit adultery. So we see that in marriage, the man leaves his parents, and in a public act or pledge, cleaves himself to his wife. Both two are joined together and take responsibility for each other's welfare and become one flesh in intimacy. They make a lifelong commitment and covenant in the presence of God to love and cherish each other in all situations until death do us part. Some people, they say that, well, my wife, she cannot cook. The favorite food that I like, she cannot cook, so I want even to divorce her. Some people say that my wife, she talks too much. She's like chippy, so I want to put her away. Some will say that my wife, she's lazy, so I don't want her any longer. Some also will say that my wife, when I got married to her, you know, she looked like a pencil, very slim, but now she has grown a little bit fat. So I want to go back and find somebody of that shape, because that was the shape that I looked for. That was why I got married to her. But you have to remember that it was because of you giving, producing with her. That was why she had even put on that weight. All these things, they are flimsy excuses. They cannot even stand. Some men also, some women also say, my husband, she doesn't give me money. You know, so I want to leave him, find another man who can really, really, really sponsor me. Some also say that, well, I want my freedom. This marriage thing, I want to have my freedom. So they want to divorce. Some also say that this man, when I got married to him, you know, he was so exciting, but now he's so boring. Let me go and find another man who is exciting. All these things, they do not stand in the sight of God. I pray that God will help us in Jesus' name. But the Bible says that what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. And there's one important thing that we want to know. We remember that when God even created Adam, he had dominion over everything. But then we all know how man fell. It was the woman that led the man into sin, and then he fell. If that was the same, and because man fell, he lost his dominion. Everything that he had, he lost it completely. That would have been a very good ground, even for the man. You see that, this woman, before you came, I had everything. Now you have come, I have lost everything. So, go away. God, give me another woman. No, we don't see that happening. God did not give Adam another woman. So we see that the marriage is what? It's a lifelong commitment. And I pray that God will help us in Jesus' name. This leads us to our second subheading, the foundational pillar of Christian marriage. We all know what a pillar even stands for. A pillar is something that is able to hold a building very well together. If the foundation is very strong, you know that the building can stand against all shocks that can come to it. Whether it is earthquake, whether it is a strong wind, when the pillars or the foundation is strong, no matter the challenge, no matter even the obstacle that will come against that building, the building will be able to stand. And for we as believers, or for we as Christians, our marriages should reflect Christ and be an example or standard for the world and society. And that is why we need to have Christ as the cornerstone, Christ as the center, Christ as the pivot in our marriages. And that is why, for believers, it is very important that the couples going into the marriage, you know, you should be born again. You should have even Christ in their lives. Because the Bible says that we should not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. But for some believers, when it comes to the choice of making marriage, they say that, well, you know, everybody is okay. Or this girl comes to church, so they want to just take anyone. But then the Bible says we should not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. As much as possible, our choice, the choice that we make, it should be one that is guided even by God. Because remember, for Adam, it was God himself that made the choice for him. Adam did not go around to look for the partner or the choice or decide even what kind of woman that he wants. It was God himself who chose the woman for Adam. And that is why as believers, we need even to be guided by our choice. Because the foundation of the marriage is start by what? Choosing your spouse or choosing your partner. And you have to be guided by the word of God. You should not be guided by your sight or what you see. Because before marriage, the person that you see, the person is like a container. But then when you get married to the person, that is when you'll be able to see the content. And that is why as a believer, because when you see a container standing there, you don't know the content. It is only God who knows the content. And that is why you need to allow God even to guide you. You need to allow God even to lead you in your choice of marriage. And I want us to turn our Bible to Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 23. And then also Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 to 10. You take Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 23 first, and I read from here. It says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. It is not for you just to make your own choice. You have to allow God even to make the choice for you. You have to allow God even to lead you to that choice. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 to 10, the Bible says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. And that is why those of you who are single, you want even to get married, you have to allow God even to lead you. For God is the one who knows the heart of that man or that woman that you want to get married to. You have to allow God even to lead you. Because in this world that we live in today, and the people of the world, and even in some Christian circles, when they want to get married, they say, I want to go on blind dating. And I want to go on blind dating before I get married. If you use blind dating as a method to get married, you'll be lost even in that marriage. Some people, they say that, well, I want it very fast, so there's something we call speed dating. I want to go through this speed dating process. If you use speed dating even to get married, you crash in your marriage. Some people, they say, well, these days we are living in a smart world, we have the internet. They say, well, I'll use internet dating. I'll go to www.matchform.com. That is where I'm going to search even my partner. Or even these days, there are some websites, they say it's Christian dating website. That is where some people, when they want to get married, that is the site that they go. If you go on a website, if you go on the World Wide Net, even for to search your partner, your marriage will be way well apart. I pray that to not be your portion in Jesus' name. You should not use even the methods of this world. Some people, they want to sample here, they want to sample there, they want even their friends even to choose for them. They say that, well, they want their father even to choose for them. The Bible said the heart of man is deceitful above all. You need the guidance of God in your choice of marriage. Remember even when God even told Samuel, Prophet Samuel, to go to the house of Jesse and anoint one of his sons to be the king. When Prophet Samuel got there, he saw Eliab, because he saw him, this man was tall. He was handsome. He said that surely this is the anointed of God. But then God told him that no, I have rejected this man. In the same way also, we should not allow people even to make choices for us. We should allow God even to lead us. Because for Samuel, he was going to make choice again to sit on that throne of Israel, to occupy that position in Israel. The same way also, the person that you get married to will occupy a special place in your heart. That is why you need to allow God even to lead you in your marriage. I pray that God will help us in Jesus' name. Amen. It's very important also to have Christ at the center of the marriage. Remember the wedding that Christ was invited. When he got there, he made the marriage even sweet. When there was wine lacking in the marriage, made provision even for them. It's the same way also, when you invite Christ in your marriage, whatever is lacking in your marriage, he himself will provide even for that marriage in Jesus' name. Amen. So when the foundation is wrong, the center will not hold, and things will surely fall apart. And that is why it is not too surprising that there are so many divorces going on in the world, and also in some Christian circles, because of the absence of Christ in the marriage. And if you look at the marriage institution, the Bible says Paul compared it to the relationship between Christ and the church. And if we want our marriage even to stand, there are certain principles, or there are certain things that should be foundational in our marriage. And I want us to turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 22 to 33. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 33. For these are very important ingredients or elements that we need even to have in our marriages, so that the marriages even can stand the test of time. And I read from here, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. I'll read verses 30 to 33. Just to save time, say, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Here we can see two responsibilities, each for the wife and each and one also for the husband. We see that the Bible is enjoining us that the wife should be submissive to the husband. These days we are living in this modern world, and people say that, well, this is the time of emancipation of women, woman rights and all those things. But then, this is what the Bible says. If you are a Christian and you want to practice marriage in the biblical way, this is what God is saying about the wife, that the wife should be submissive to the husband. Whether you are taller than your husband, whether you are more educated than your husband, whether you are even older than your husband, or even you earn more salary than your husband, the Bible says the wife has to submit to the husband. That is the responsibility of the wife. And we also see also for the husband, God says that the husband should love the wife just like he loves his own body, just like how Christ loved the church. We all know Christ came for our sins. Even when we were yet sinners, Christ came to die for us. He came to make us even perfect in the sight of God. And that is what God is also expecting the husbands. We should also show love to our wives. Our wives may not know how to cook our favorite food. Our wives may be spending our money too much. But then God says we should love our wives. I pray that God will help us in Jesus' name. Amen. That no matter what challenge each and every one of us, we will take heed to our responsibilities. And when it comes to this submission and love, sometimes the wife will say, my husband does not love me, so I'm not going to submit. The husband will also say that, well, this woman, she's not submitting, so I'm also not going to love her. But we know that love begets submission. Submission also begets love, just like we have the chicken and the hen. The chicken lays the egg was becomes a hatches to become a chicken. So it goes side by side. The husband, no matter what your wife may be doing, Christ is expecting you to love even your wife, just like how he also loves the church. And the wife also, no matter how your husband may be behaving or his attitude, God is expecting us even to be submissive. And if you look in the scriptures, there was a couple, Priscilla and Aquila. Because of our time, I'm not going to read those verses. But then, anytime that you hear Priscilla, you see Aquila also being mentioned. Anytime you hear Aquila, you see Priscilla also being mentioned. And this is what is like an indication of the kind of marriage that is godly. And I pray that God will help us, that our marriages be godly in Jesus' name. We look at our final subheading, the fellowship practice in a godly home. And we all know that marriage, it leads to the making of the family. And society is a coming together or is an aggregation of different families. If we have godly families, if we have godly homes, our society will also be godly. And one of the reasons why God instituted marriage was for the procreation of godly children and the raising of a godly family. And I want us to turn our Bibles to the book of Malachi, chapter 2, verses 15. so that indeed not he make one, yet hath he the residue of the Spirit. And wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. So we see that God wants what? A godly seed. And that is why he instituted even this marriage. Because just like in the line of reproduction, when you have an apple tree or apple seed, it gives rise to what? An apple fruit. And God is expecting that as we are believers, when we go into godly marriages, we'll be able to have godly homes, be able to raise up also godly children. And one thing that we have to know is that our children that we have, because some people, they say that, well, my children, they are godly, they are this and that. But we have to know that man was shaping in iniquity. We were all born as sinners in Psalm 51, verses 5. I want us to turn our Bibles there. And that is why it is very important that as parents, we need to train our children in the way of the Lord. We need to show them even the way of salvation. We need to teach them the way of the Lord so that they can also grow up to be godly people. In Psalm 51, verse 5, the Bible says that, behold, I was shaping in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So that was how we were created, in iniquity. And therefore, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, that train up the child the way he should grow, that when he grows, he will not depart from it. And that is why it's the responsibility of the parents even to train their children in a godly way. And we should not look in the Bible and say that, well, you know, somebody like Eli, he was a priest of God. Look at his children, their lifestyle, they were ungodly. Look at David, he was a man after God's own heart. But then, if you look at even his children, their lifestyle, they were ungodly, they were rebellious children. But then we see Abraham, this was what God even said of Abraham, in Genesis chapter 18, verse 19, that he knew that Abraham would command his children after God's way. And that is what God is expecting us. Because we could see that in the house of Abraham, there was obedience. But then, in the house of Eli, in the house of David, there was rebellion. I pray that will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Amen. Because God is expecting us even to raise up the children in his fear and in the way of the Lord. And we should not be discouraged. We should not say that, well, it is difficult even in this time. Or in Europe, it is difficult. Yes, we know the society that we live in. But then, God is able to do all things. With him, nothing is impossible. Remember, there was a man, evangelist, Philip, even in the Bible, in Acts chapter 21, verses 8 to 9, he had even four daughters. They were all virgins, and they were prophets. In the same way also, this man was an evangelist. He was busy, but he could find time to train the children in the way of the Lord. And that is what God is also expecting us to do. We should find time to train our children in the fear and in the way of the Lord. We should find time to play with them. We could have some time to have some work with them, have fellowship with them, and draw them into even God's presence. And as we do so, the Lord will bless us mightily in Jesus' name. And also, if you look at the fellowship also in the family, in the family, you know, there's responsibility for the wife and also for the husband. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 to 5. And I read from here. I read from verses 1 to 5. It says, now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband has not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and so and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. In a lot of marriages today, the wife is not rendering, I know those who are married, they understand what I mean. The wife, you know, is not rendering that kind of benevolence to the husband. The husband also is keeping himself away from the wife. But then, this is what the Lord is telling us, that we should have even that fellowship. And I pray that from today, if you have not been doing so, God will rekindle that bond in you, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Also, for the children, the Bible says that we should even what? Raise them up in the godly way, just as I've also mentioned earlier. We should show them love, we should also show them care. That is what the children expect from the parents. And also, the parents also, and for the children also, they need even to honor their parents, they need to obey them as well. I read from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment we promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So, the responsibility from the parents to the children, also the children have responsibilities to their parents. I pray that it will be so in our families in Jesus' name. So there are a lot of virtues that God even wants to see in a godly home. One, there is love. There is care. Also, there's kindness. We show kindness one to another. We follow peace with one another. We also comfort one another. We edify one another. We are also truthful with one another. Transparency, just as our pastor even preached yesterday, there should be transparency even in the marriage. The wife should not be doing something that the husband even does not know of, or vice versa. There should be transparency in the family. Also, we should admonish one another. We should encourage one another. Moreover, the family altar of daily devotion and prayer should always be kept alive and burning. Because the Bible, there's a saying that says that a family that prays together even sticks together. So, a godly home, when we have a godly home, there are a lot of blessings that we derive even from the Lord. A godly home will never lack God's provision. A godly home will never lack God's protection. Godly hope will never lack answers to prayers, and God will surely deliver the godly home from every evil work. And finally, in John chapter 13, verses 17, it says, if ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I pray that as you hear the word of God, you put it into practice in your marriages in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Let's stand on our feet and go before the Lord in prayer. You have heard this message. Look at yourself. Are you married? How is your marriage even going? Is Christ in the center? Or is your marriage in a crisis? You can always go before the Lord in prayer. Tell the Lord even to make everything that has gone wrong, to make it right in your marriage. Whatever even the challenge you are facing, with God, nothing is impossible. God Himself, He can do it for you. If you are even not forgiving your wife, or your wife, you are not forgiving your husband, God is expecting that there should be forgiveness, even in our marriages. There should be love. Whatever is missing in the marriage, remember when those couple invited Jesus into the marriage. What was lacking, He provided. Pray that God will make provision in your marriage. Pray that God will breathe freshness into your marriage. That this day will be the beginning of new things in your marriage. All the old things, all the old fights, all the old struggles, God Himself will take it away. Things will become new. There will be love in the family. There will be fellowship in the family. Those who have children, pray that God will help you. and be able to raise up your children in the fear of the Lord, in the way of the Lord, in holiness and in righteousness, not like the people of this world. Those who are not yet married, looking forward even to getting married, pray that God will help you in your choice. God will guide you in your choice. God will direct you in your choice. Those who are married, but then there's divorce or there's any challenge, pray that God will even bring that restoration. With God, nothing is impossible. Pray that God will help you if you are, your wife has divorced you or your husband has divorced you. With God, nothing is impossible. Pray that God even should work out things so you can come together again. In Jesus' name we are praying. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this word. Lord, we want to thank you that you want us even to enjoy our marriages and not to endure it. And that is why you have given us this blueprint on how even to go into marriage and how to operate our marriages. As we have heard your word, we pray that you give us the grace to be doers of your word and not just hearers only. In any home where there is a challenge, in any home where there is a difficulty, we are praying that, Lord, you yourself will provide and correct all the wrongs in Jesus' name. Amen. We also commit our children into your hands. We are praying for wisdom to raise them in your fear and in your favor. We commit also the singles into your hands. Those who are looking forward even to getting married, that Lord, you yourself will guide them and direct them even in their choices. We thank you. For in Jesus' name we are praying.
Amen. Amen.